Hello there. Welcome to another episode of Getting Social with Miriam. It is great to have you here. Now, I want to touch up on something very important. If you hire a professional to do something for you and you are not happy with the service, not because the job was not well done, it was because you were treated just like a number and it was a very cold experience for you. And even though the job itself may have been well done, you come away feeling like the professional you had hired did not even care about you, didn't care about the fact that, how you felt about it, didn't care about anything other than the fact that you had hired him or her for the job. And really, what are the odds of you hiring that person again? Now, let me tell you something. If I was a customer or client, I know I would have been looking elsewhere for the future. I would look elsewhere for a professional who could do not only a good quality job, but also treat me much better than just a number. So today, my guest, her name is Deb Brown, and she is the founder of Touch Your Client's Heart, a client appreciation company. In her personal assistant business, Deb Brown consistently made her clients say, wow. As a result, the colleagues started asking her how to do that in their own businesses. So Deb takes great joy in making people feel special. She understands how to reach people in a very personalized way. Touch Your Client's Heart believes the key to client retention and word-of-mouth referrals is as simple as client appreciation gifts, but it's got to be done the right way. Let me welcome Deb. Hello, Deb.
Hi, Miriam. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm really glad you are a guest. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. Now, my first question for you is, what role does nurturing play in growing your business?
That's a great question, Miriam. And, you know, some of the things you mentioned in that little introduction, you were talking about customers leaving because they felt like someone didn't care about them, that the business didn't care. And it got me thinking there's actually a statistic out there that 68% of customers that leave do it because they believe the customer doesn't care about them.
Wow.
So nurturing is really important. Nurturing is what develops that know, like, and trust that we hear about all the time in marketing. They've got to know you, they've got to like you, they've got to trust you. Well, how do you do that? You have to nurture the relationship. And the other thing that it does is it keeps you top of mind. So if you're constantly doing things to develop that relationship, nurture the relationship, then people know who you are. They like you because you're doing nice things to them. They trust you more, and you're top of mind. They're thinking about you more.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I really can relate to that. So now, how does nurturing help when it comes to customer service issues?
Well, that's interesting because, when you've done the job to nurture your relationships with your clients, when an issue comes up and there's been a mistake made, those clients are going to be much more forgiving because they already know that you care, you've been taking care of them all along, and they know that you're going to work through the problem. And so when they have that relationship, they're already liking you and trusting you, then if you mess up, as long as you own up to it and make it right, they're going to be very forgiving. Whereas if it's a business that hasn't developed that relationship and then they screw up on top of it, then people are like, that's it, I'm leaving. You know, they don't want anything to do with it.
Right, right. Well, absolutely. Well, you know what? That's fine. If they own up to their mistakes, then sure. That, I mean, I'll tell you this much. If I hired a professional who did make a mistake and acknowledged it and apologized, not only apologized, but gave me something, gave me some sort of discount for the future, then of course I'd go back to them. Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that is very, very important.
Yeah, so, and a lot of times if they're already feeling disconnected from the business because they haven't been nurtured, then it's just that mistake becomes the straw that broke the camel's back and they're just not willing to be patient with it, you know?
Right, right. So now my next question is, who should you nurture?
That's great. There's a few different categories of people that you should consider, and it's going to depend on what kind of business you have, because obviously we could all make a list a mile long of business contacts, but you need to take the time to narrow it down. One thing to consider is if you have a long buying cycle. Mm-hmm. So from the time you have a prospect until you actually make a sale is going to be a year or more, then you're probably going to want to put prospects on a special nurturing list because you need to keep in touch with them multiple times to get them to that sale. And if you forget about them, they're going to forget about you over
Absolutely.
That time.
Absolutely.
And another type of person to consider on your nurturing list would be referral partners.
Okay.
And if you have a business that relies heavily on referrals, say like financial planners, things like that, they're really dependent on those referrals, then a nice thing to do is to develop a list of your key referral partners and then nurture them every 30 days so that you're staying top of mind. They remember you. They send you more referrals.
Okay.
Another category to think about is your clients, and we already talked about that a little bit, that if you're not doing the little extra things to nurture client relationships, then when something goes wrong, they're going to get tired of it, or if they just feel like you don't care, they're going to go find somebody who cares about them.
Right.
So you should have some ways to nurture clients. And then the fourth category of people you should think about is past clients, because sometimes if you're in a business where you work on a project basis and say the project is 6 weeks or 6 months and then you're done, then those past clients have already hopefully had a great experience with you. They're more likely to come back to you for another project.
Right.
So if you put them on a nurturing list and stay in touch with them, then it's going to increase the likelihood that they'll come back to you when they're ready for the next project.
Okay. Now, I already said that there are some ways to nurture, like giving discounts or giving some sort of gift. However, what are some other ways that you can nurture?
Yeah, you know, again, it's going to depend on your business. If you're a business that is maybe an in-person business, so you visit them and see them face-to-face, think about those little extra things that you can do for them when you're there. You know, if you're a house cleaner, if you can leave a flower or a little treat every time you come and clean their house, you know, those are little things that are going to wow your clients and really nurture the relationship and make them feel like you care about them more than just the job.
Right.
Other things you can do, you know, even if you're a virtual business and you don't ever see people face-to-face, just the fact that you take an interest in them when you're on the phone and interacting with them, you ask maybe about their family or their hobbies or something that's personally important to them, those are things that help develop that relationship too. And then just think about all the ways that you can have contact with people. And Miriam, I know you're all about social media, and that's one way, and sometimes it's appropriate to have like a Facebook friendship with a client, depending on the kind of business. So you might interact with clients that way. But also think about just making phone calls that maybe aren't business related, saying, hey, I was just thinking about you. That is huge to nurture a relationship.
Okay.
Sending an email that doesn't say, you know, here's your deadline or here's your project, but just says, I saw this article online and I thought it applied to you. I thought you'd enjoy it. I'm sending them a link to an article.
Oh, okay.
Also, really think about doing things that are not virtual, like sending something in the mail, like a thank you note, or I like to call it love mail. I really encourage people to have a love mail list, and it doesn't have to be a big list, but it's just key people that you're trying to nurture by sending them things in the mail, because even if they don't open their email or when you make the phone call you get sent to voicemail, people will take the mail out of their mailbox and they will actually open it. So that's a really great way to nurture those relationships too. And then once in a while you might want to send a gift in the mail. if it's a great client and it's the end of the project or something like that, it might be appropriate to send a gift. That's not something you can afford to do to every person every time, but it's something to think about when it's appropriate.
Well, that's going to bring me to my next question now. I mean, here's the thing. You know, you can always just purchase virtual gifts, like an Amazon card or something. So why would someone bother to send mail when you can reach people for virtually no cost on social media through email, even if you're going to, say, pay for a gift card, like through for Amazon or what have you, or shop or shop.com or what have you?
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering why would I'm just wondering what your take on that is.
Yeah, you know, our world has become so virtual. Mm-hmm. And that's great because it is low cost. Like you said, you know, you don't have to spend a lot of money to send out an email or to send a virtual gift card. Mm-hmm. But it makes a bigger impact if they get something physical. And part of that is it touches more senses. Like, we are so inundated with our computer screens and the screens on our phone and our tablets that it's just like reading more words on a page. But if you get something in the mail, you have to rip open the envelope. You touch it. You feel it. You remember it much more than an email that somebody sent saying, oh, you've got this virtual gift card. Virtual gift card is still nice, but mail just makes a bigger impact. It involves more of the senses, and it touches people in a way that they remember you much more, and they remember the gesture much more than they
right.
would if it was done virtually.
Okay, okay. Now, my next question is, are there guidelines for sending things through mail?
Yeah, you know, there are. If, you know, a lot of times you hear about direct mail and you have to send a call to action and you need to send a coupon or some incentive, but today what we're talking about is nurturing relationships. And if your purpose is to nurture a relationship, then there shouldn't be a call to action. There shouldn't be a coupon, because that doesn't make me feel special. I get tons of coupons in the mail, and I could care less. A lot of them go in the trash.
Right.
But if a business is trying to nurture a relationship with me, if it's someone who wants me to send them referrals and they send me a coupon, I'm not going to care at all.
No.
But
no.
if they send me something that's meaningful to me or lets me know that they care about me, that will nurture the relationship. So stay away from coupons, promotions. Make it all about them instead of all about your business.
Okay, great. Great. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
Because that's very, very important, because you are absolutely right. If I get a coupon in the mail, you're right, I just junk it. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, my next question is, how often should you send things in the mail?
Well, if you want to be remembered, you need to be sending things once a month.
Okay.
You know, if it's a thank you card at the end of a project or a thank you gift, obviously you're not going to send that more than once. But if you have a list of people that you want to nurture relationships with, you have to do it every 30 days. I heard a statistic recently, and I don't have the exact quote on it, but it was basically if you haven't heard from somebody within 26 to 28 days, they've forgotten about you already.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so,
okay.
you know, if you're thinking about something like a referral partner or a prospect who's in your pipeline, if you've waited 30 days to make contact with them, then they've forgotten about you, and then when the next service provider shows up that does exactly what you do, now that person is top of mind, and they
right.
have forgotten about you.
Right.
So,
right.
So when you're really trying to nurture the relationships, it's got to be once a month. And like I said before, some of that might be happening online in a virtual way.
Right.
You may have contact with them, but it has to be a pretty direct contact. It can't just be, well, I made a post on Facebook and I hope they saw it. It needs to be a more personal touch every
30
days.
Or give them a call. Or give them a call.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So what role does customer appreciation play in nurturing client relationships?
Well, you know, we talked about this a little before, but that is a really big part of it, too. Like we said, you were saying that if a business messes up for you, but they're willing to own it and make it right with you, then that actually nurtures that relationship some more because you feel like you can trust them. If they have poor customer service, then that's just one more mark against them and one more reason to walk away and find a different service provider. So customer appreciation and customer service are really huge. If they know that you care about them and they know that you appreciate them, then they'll appreciate you right back, really.
Great. Yes. That makes a lot of sense. So my next question is, what are your thoughts on holiday gifts?
I am really against sending gifts in December. And that's one of the things I do for my business is send out gifts for people. So that might be surprising to you, but I have a few reasons for that.
Okay.
Number one, December, there's more than one religious belief in the world. And so, you know, we think of December as, oh my gosh, I have to send out holiday gifts, or most people think of it as Christmas gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are some people who don't believe in Christmas, and number one, that could be an offense to them.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they just don't care about that holiday. So that's one reason.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is all these holidays that fall in December, they're really very personal and family-oriented.
Right. Very true.
And people are bombarded with the holiday card and the holiday gifts, and they're trying to keep track of all their friends and their family that they need to buy gifts for. And then they get so much during that month, too, cards, gifts, all that stuff comes during that month. So if you want to stand out as a business, don't do it in December because it's just going to completely get lost in the crowd. I think it's okay to do a holiday gift. Just choose a different holiday. And a great way to do that is there are a number of websites online. You can actually go and search. There's a holiday for every single day of the year.
Oh,
find
I know.
Something. Yeah, find
some of
something
them are...
that relates to your business.
Yeah. No, that's very, very true. Or their birthday.
Or their birthday is another great time because, yeah, not a lot of people keep track of client birthdays.
Well, they, yeah.
And so, you know, you might get a card in the mail from your insurance agent, but other than that, you're not really getting much for your birthday other than from, you know, personal friends and relatives. So birthdays are great. And then, yeah, just choosing a holiday that relates to your business. For me, because the name of my business is Touch Your Client's Heart, and I'm all about showing love to customers, I actually celebrate Valentine's Day with my business. So that's when I send things out. It's well after Christmas, well after December, and it really stands out. And
that's
people
great.
Get it, too, because it relates to what I do. It makes sense. So I'm sure there's like a social media holiday, Miriam, that you could do. You just have to search it out. And I don't know, the birthday of Facebook or, you know, there could be something like that. And if
you're absolutely right. There's a holiday for just about anything. And that's absolutely right. You know what? You've given me something to think about. Thank you very much.
All right.
now I'm going to ask you, do you have some examples of low-cost things that you have sent in the mail?
Yes, because I know cost is always a factor when we're talking about looking at our business budget, and we know that virtual is inexpensive. So when we start thinking about mail, I think people get a little bit frightened by how much is this going to cost me.
Right.
The key is to keep it flat because then it just costs a postage stamp or maybe a little bit more if there's a little more weight to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've done things like even just sending out a newsletter or an article so it can be informational, but it's still just a piece of paper, but it's an interesting piece of paper. I've also sent out for people things like bookmarks, bumper stickers, cards, packets of seeds, all those things are flat and lightweight and just standard postage.
Mm-hmm,
so it's a fun little gift. People are excited when they open it. It gives them something to talk about. And if people talk about you in a good way, then that means they're spreading the word about you. But it doesn't cost a lot to send. I've also done things that are lumpy is what they call them in the industry for mailing.
Oh, yeah.
Things like a flattened out beach ball. It has to go in a padded envelope. We've done conversation hearts at Valentine's Day time and some things like that that they cost a little bit more to send, but if you're really targeting your list and you do it maybe once a year, it's worth it.
Okay. No, you're right. That's once a year you can do, certainly, and on their birthday. And on their birthday. or a holiday that's right for them.
Exactly.
All right. So what results will this bring to a typical business?
Well, the results are the client retention. If you can keep your clients twice as long as what you keep them now, you just doubled your income. That's huge. Another thing is getting more referrals. If you're connecting with referral partners, they're going to remember you and send you more referrals. And then also if you're nurturing the clients that you're working with, they'll talk about you to their friends and colleagues and you'll get more referrals that way. Then there's also greater sales conversions. If you're working with prospects in that way, then it's much easier to close the sale if you've developed that relationship. So if you increase the rate of your sales conversions, that also increases your income. And then you just have more raving fans, and the more people that are raving about you, the more people will hear about you, and then the more customers you get. And it's just the bottom line is even though you're spending money, you're getting money right back into your business.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So now most business owners have lots of great ideas, but not enough time to implement them. Sending out mailings could be actually pretty time consuming. So how can business owners make time for one more marketing task?
That's a really good point, because you get these great ideas and it sounds wonderful and you think, yes, I'm going to send this mailing out. And then you're busy because you've got to put out your e-zine and do your social media. And you still have to take care of your clients because otherwise you're not going to get paid. if you create a system and a plan around it, that always helps. And this is such an easy thing to outsource. That's one of the things that I do for clients is send out the mailings. So people will hire me. And they'll come up with their list of names. I'll brainstorm some ideas for them. They'll tell me which ideas they like, and then I just take care of all of it for them. So it doesn't cost a lot extra just to have someone like me handle it for them. And then you know it's going out every month. I don't have to think about it.
Right.
And what people find is the increase in business that they get pays for every bit that they're spending on my service as well as the cost of putting things out there. So it's really worth it just to outsource it because it's going to be that extra thing on your list that you keep meaning to get to but you never quite
do. You just never do, yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Deb. So tell me one last question I've got for you. How can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, you know, I actually have a free report that I'd like to share with you and your list.
Okay.
And because you are all about social media, I have a free report called How to Wow with Social Media. And it's 10 tested tips to help you stand out from the crowd. And this is, you know, wowing is important, but I do more of the physical side of the wowing, and this gives you some ideas on how to do it yourself on the virtual side. And you can find that at touchyourclientsheart.com/social media wow. And I actually interviewed a bunch of different people who have done some great wowing things on social media. Some of them are social media experts, and they all gave me their tips. And it's a really fun little report that will give you some good ideas on how to make a big impression on social media.
Thank you so much. Well, you know what? That's great. The more the merrier. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Deb. You were great. Really, really appreciated you. Great tips. And you have a great day, everyone else. You enjoy the rest of your week. Be well and talk to you soon. Bye for now.